Well, good morning again for all the moms here this morning. I do want to wish you a very blessed Mother's Day. Today we celebrate mom, and well we should. Moms are, in many ways, probably the hardest working member of the family with all they have to do. Amen. And often it's a mom who reflects in many ways the heart of God for the family. And by that I mean that mom wants what is best for the family, for the individuals in the family and the family as a whole, that moms just have a heart for the family. And I've often thought, if we could bottle up all the prayers of moms, all the moms that have prayed for their children over the years and for their family, if somehow you could bottle it up and contain it, you would have a very powerful avenue to hear God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Speaking to most moms, if you speak to most moms and then you listen to them carefully, as I said, they want what's best for their child and for their family. And of course, many moms would really recognize that they are very good at giving advice for what's best for their child or for their family. Amen. Amen. Don't be meddling. And often to the chagrin of their child. But you listen closely again to moms, you'd also hear they often wish that their advice was maybe better planned or better timed and just better advised. It's just the heart of a mom. I'm not putting them down. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I just watch as moms and dads both struggle with what wanting for the family and guiding the family. I mean, after all, part of the mom is to guide their child and to train their child. And so what mother wouldn't want to know God's voice in that? As you train your child, as you grow your child up, as you speak to your child, the moms want to really hear God's voice in that and for that. And that's where being a godly mom has its advantages. A godly mother can hear from God. A godly mother can hear from God and know what God's will is for the family and interpreting that. The key is in hearing from God. Now, as you know, we have been on a series. We've made bookmarks many weeks back, and we've been on a series about making godly decisions. And last week, we looked at the last one of the lighter questions on the back page. Would, if you're going to make a decision, the question was, would his indwelling presence agree with my decision? And so I think in lieu of that, we saw, well, first of all, let me back up and said, we saw that about this indwelling presence of God. We looked at what happens when you get saved, that you literally have the indwelling presence of God in the form of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity of God, the Holy Spirit that lives within you. And he not only lives within you, he's able to guide you and speak to you. And we saw that we need to be aware of the indwelling presence of God. And it is that very indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that will help both mom and dads, as well as individuals, hear God's voice for their situation. So by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to continue on how we can be led by the indwelling presence of our God, because I believe every believer would say that's extremely important. And I don't know that we know enough or understand enough about how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, I say that I've said to you in the past, as I have preached on the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that since I was a young believer, one of my quests is to learn God's voice, to know his voice in my life, to know and understand the leading of the Holy Spirit, the leading of God. But it's a lifelong quest, isn't it? And I find sometimes you're very good at it, and other times you feel like you're just struggling in hearing, or sometimes you need to go back to the basics and understand it. That was part of last week, to going back and seeing scripturally that you do, in fact, it's not just a cliche, it's not just something that sounds nice. You have the Spirit of God and the presence of God living within you. And we saw the drama of that and the significance of it last week. And so we're going to, as I said, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I believe, we're going to go on with that a little bit this morning. And once we've now established last week that the Spirit of God lives within you, I want to show you this morning a reassurance that you can be led by the Spirit of God. You should be led by the Spirit of God, and that God expects you to be led by the Spirit of God, but we'll support that scripturally. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 8. I believe it's in 739 if you're looking in your pew Bibles. Book of Acts, chapter 8. Now, in the beginning of chapter 8 here, we find ourselves in that early part of the church there, that there was a great persecution in the church. Chapter 7, it talked about the stoning of Stephen. On and on, they have this great persecution. And so at this point when we pick this up in 8, that the church had scattered quite a bit. The church, being the church of Christ, those that got saved in the community, they began to scatter because of this great persecution. So in the scattering, as God used that, the people began to preach the word, spread out as they went out from their area and preached the word of Christ elsewhere. And in that, we find Philip, who lands in Samaria, and he is preaching Christ. Now, if you did the study, if you worked through it, you would see that Philip had an extremely powerful ministry. He's outside, he's going places, he's preaching Christ, but there are signs, there's wonders, there's miracles. There are great things happening in Philip's ministry. And people are being touched mightily by the power of God. And he is moving mightily in the power of God. And then in the midst of this, in this tremendous, if you would call it revival in Philip's ministry, what's happening, something rather unusual takes place, and God gives him this change of direction in his life. And we find this beginning in chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Now, I don't know about you, but just the fact that if you caught the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip there and told him what to do. And you have to understand what's happening. As I said, Philip is having an extremely powerful time in his ministry. And the angel tells him, "Now I want you to leave this extremely populated area where you're getting tremendous results in the ministry, and I want you to go out in the desert." Now there's nothing out in the desert, especially the scholars would tell you that's probably the heat of the day, the time of the day, and there'd be nobody out there walking or being in the desert. Normally isn't anything to start with. And why would the Spirit of God send him seemingly out of a very powerful ministry, specific time of what's happening, to go and to get into the desert? And so here's this angel of God directs him away from the city to this desert road, and Philip obeys. Verse 27. So he arose and went. Notice that he didn't question the leading of God. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now here is an individual that has a very high position in charge of all the treasury of the queen. He's coming as a Gentile to worship God. He has a heart for seeking God in his life. So he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and returning on his way back and sitting in the chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now Philip obeys. As I said, we know the story that Philip was in this ministry, and all of a sudden he heads out in the desert, goes out there to where he's supposed to be. He obeys. He finds this individual of great authority reading scripture, Isaiah. And it says he's reading it out loud, and that was sort of an ancient custom to read scripture out loud, and not a bad idea to do in your own life from time to time as well, just to really grasp and understand it and to hear it as well. So he was returning, verse 28, and sitting in his chariot, he's reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And so they began to do that, and we'll stop at that point there. But Philip, if we read on, we'll find out that he opens up the meaning of the scripture. Interesting enough, this individual is reading Isaiah, prophesying of the Christ, and Philip begins to open up the scripture and explain to him who Christ was, and the man gets saved. He believes on Christ. He's actually the first Gentile of record to get saved. But in that, there's several things we want to notice this morning, and one not significant, I could say. Here's a powerful example of when you're truly seeking God, that God will go out of his way to get to you. Here is a Gentile out in the desert trying to understand the scripture, had purpose to hear from God because he went there to worship. He's now returning back. He left his employment or whatever. I'm not saying he left his job, but I mean he had this job and he took time away from that to seek God. And so that tells me that when I need to hear from God, that God will supernaturally, if need be, find a way to speak to me. And you should understand the same thing. We so often get this caught up and say, "Well, I can't hear from God," or "the preacher hears from God," or "I struggle." You need to understand something. When you want to hear from God, if you have a heart to press in to hear from God regarding your circumstances or your situation in your life, that God will go out of his way. Look how he went out of the way for this individual. He took Philip from an extremely powerful point of ministry and put him out in the middle of the desert for this one individual. So it's an example of how God supernaturally will meet you. And if we know anything about God, we know that he is a supernatural God, and he's not ashamed of being a supernatural God. And we should never lose sight of that, that we don't serve a God that is not supernatural, that he is does things in a very profound and, if need be, powerful way. But there's something more happening here, and I'm not sure if you caught it right away. In the beginning here in verse 26, it says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go down the south and go into the desert." In verse 29, it says, "Now the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake the chariot." An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and the wording there for angel, it simply means messenger. There are some scholars that believe it could have been because of Luke's style of writing. It really meant spirit. I don't know that it's worth debating over, but the angel of God spoke to Philip, and the Spirit of God spoke to Philip. And then what's really important is God, in a supernatural fashion, spoke to his servant, Philip. Philip heard the voice of the Lord and responded. And of course, we know the result was the eunuch was saved and baptized. And so we see scriptural proof here that God speaks to those people that know him. So Philip obeys it, the eunuch saved and baptized, and then watch this here and pick this up in verse 38. This, you know, the guy gets saved and baptized. In verse 38 it says, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and he baptized them." Now, I'm not sure where the water was in the middle of the desert, but the water was there. "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in the cities till he came to Caesarea." Now, the eunuch went his way rejoicing. I suspect he probably said for a moment, "Where'd that guy go? What happened to Philip?" And so what happened here is that the Spirit of God catches them up, catches them away. In fact, Azotus is about 35 miles from Jerusalem, the point of where he supposedly was ministering. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God caught him up and placed him 35 miles away, which I think is pretty supernatural. But one commentator said, an original language supports this, "And when they came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit fell upon the eunuch, but the angel of the Lord caught up Philip." You know, as I said earlier on, it's so important to understand who the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is in your life. If we said last week and shown scripturally that the Spirit of God lives with inside of you, to have a deep, abiding, intimate relationship with you, how well should we know the Spirit of God in our life? It seems important, don't you think? And we've done series on the Holy Spirit in the past, and we'll surely do them again. I mean, we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not an it. It's as much God as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one of the third of the Trinity, the holiness of the Holy Spirit. We found that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can resist the Holy Spirit. We can quench the Holy Spirit. And of course, we can have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But all of which establishes the foundation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And all of which helps us to better understand what it is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible makes it clear that the Spirit of God desires to lead his children, to speak to his children. The Spirit said to Philip. And I want to take a moment and just talk about that for a second. Over the years, many people have told me, they've came to me and they said, well, they've made this decision or they're going to do this in their life, and they use circumstances to make the decision. They feel these circumstances have lined up such a way that this must be God leading them, and they make this direction of God in their life by circumstances. And their understanding is that God arranged a set of circumstances in order to direct them. I want you to understand that's a very good and clear way to miss the Spirit of God, to be misled in your life. Now, I'm not saying that God is not in our circumstances. Clearly, God can be in our circumstances. But the Word does not support that he speaks to his children through circumstances. It's a great way to be misled in your life. I find, if anything, that circumstances will confirm in your life something that God has already spoken. And here's an easy way to understand this. How many of you parents, when you want your child to know something or to do something, you want to give them advice or direction or do something in your life, when you want them to do that you arrange this elaborate set of circumstances that hopefully they will get it They'll get this circumstance, it'll kind of fall into place, and then they'll put all this together and they'll say, oh, this must be what mom or dad wants me to do because the circumstances say so. How many of you parents do that? Any hands? I didn't think so. When you want your child to do something, you tell them directly. Amen? And the Bible supports that. So when you feel that you're being led by God by circumstances, please understand, that's a great place to be misled. Now, as I said, I'm not saying God's not in our circumstances. I'm not saying that he won't confirm things through them. But I want to be very careful if I think circumstances are leading. That's like going down the road and, you know, passing a Baskin Robbins and go, it must be God. I wasn't going to go this way. How many of us have fell into that? Amen? You know. Well, maybe that's not about the best analogy. What else could we use? You know, but we need to be careful with that. God desires to speak to his children clearly and plainly. And as a child of God, how well do you know your father's voice? How well do you know your mother's voice? As a child of God, how well should you know your father's voice? And I'm talking about your heavenly father. As well as we know our mother's voice or our father's voice in our personal life, should we know our heavenly father's voice through the voice of the Holy Spirit as well? Isn't that where we need to get the leading as we move on in our life as mature individuals in the Lord? The word is very clear. God will speak to direct his children. In Acts here, it's very clear. The Spirit said to Philip, go and overtake the chariot. Philip heard from God to go into the desert. Philip heard from God what to do, and once he was in the desert, he heard what to do once he got there. And which is very interesting as well, understanding and following the leading of God. Philip didn't sit around and go, well, why in the world would I go in the desert, Lord? You know, what are you talking about? It's hot out there. He didn't do any of that. The Bible says he got up and he obeyed. Now, you have to understand something. Obviously, Philip understood the voice of God in his life. Philip knew what it was to hear from God. And I've often said, you know, if you're not sure it's God, I'm not saying there's a problem to go back and say, Lord, is this you or is it me? I mean, that's part of hearing from God's voice in our life. I'm not saying that you need to obey, because some of the voices you hear in your life is not going to be God, and why it's so important to discern the difference of the voice of God in your life and the voice of the enemy or your own personal voice. You know, what you think you want to do. And how many times I've said over the years that I've learned as I've prayed, if I'm praying for something and I really want it to go a certain way, I have to be careful that I don't hear, quote unquote, from God what I want to hear from God. Do you understand what I mean by that? Because it's real easy to do that. Well, I believe God's directed me in this way. Well, if it's something that I really want to have happen or I'm really praying for, but I want to make sure it's God, I work extra hard at saying, is this you? I want to be sure it's not just what I want. And so Philip obviously understood the voice of God in his life. And I've used a quote over the years from Zig Ziglar that I've shared with you in the past that says, when you know, go as far as you can see, when you get there, you will see farther. And it's a great quote from him. And it really what it means is that here the Spirit of God said to Philip, I want you to go out in the desert. And he obeyed. Once he was there, then the Spirit of God said, now do this. And he obeyed him. Turn with me over to a couple chapters over to Acts chapter 10. We'll see something else here this morning as well. In Acts 10, we know the story, but it's about a Gentile as well. Cornelius, he was a devout, God-fearing Gentile man, and he receives a vision from God telling him to go to send for a man named Peter. Now, he didn't know who Peter was, but God tells him his name, tells him Peter's name, tells him the town he is in and who he is staying with. Now, I think you can see so many things. And in one, Cornelius very clearly heard he was seeking God's heart. God gave him direction, gave him Peter's name, told him where to go, who he was staying with, and send men for him. It may seem crazy, but I know I have shared with you over the years a story about a lady I knew years ago named Mother Watts. And she was an elderly lady from the inner city. They called her Mother Watts because she had raised 50 or 60 foster kids. I think her husband was a pastor that, when I knew her, had passed on. And so she got this name, Mother Watts. She brought all the kids in from the neighborhood. And she was not a learned woman. She couldn't read or write very well. She did try to go to Bible school and worked her way through as best she could. But this woman had a heart for God. I'll never forget, she would have story after story. I mean, I remember one time she had this story. It was a true story because the lady was with it. She was praying and God said, gave her the name, I believe it was a Jewish woman. Now, Mother Watts lived in University Heights, that area there. Gave her the name of some Jewish woman, and it was Strongsville or Berea or some Brunswick out there. So this woman's praying. Gave her the woman's name and address. So Mother Watts had to find somebody to drive her out there. Knocked on the lady's door and said, I understand that you're praying, and God sent me to you. Pray with the lady. Got her saved. Got her healed. The lady was supposed to have back surgery. Healed her, and the lady was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and Mother Watts went on her way. I mean, it's just, you know, but God told her where to go and what to do very specifically. And there are times in my life that I don't need a general leading from God. I need a specific leading from God. Amen? I mean, sometimes we need to make a decision in our life, and it's not vague. We need to know. And I want you to understand that there are times when the Holy Spirit just seems, we talked about in Acts where it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. There are times where you need to know specifically, and God can be very specific with you. So here Cornelius, we find Cornelius sending for Peter. And all the while, this is how God works. He prepares Peter to minister to the Gentiles. Here's a Gentile. God tells this Gentile, you need to know more about me. Here's a man, Peter. Here's where he's at. Here's where he lives. Here's who he's staying with. Go see him. And now he goes over to Peter and he says, Peter, I want you to be prepared. And watch what happens here. Chapter 10, we'll pick this up in verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up to a housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And before we go much further, something that bears noticing here is this. Many times we want to hear from God. Well, Pastor Ron said, I can be led by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it. I need to hear from God. God, speak to me. Just a minute. I'll take two hamburgers and a french fry. Go ahead, Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Add a Diet Coke. And we do it through the drive-thru. You understand what I'm saying? That we want to race through our life to hear from God. Now, notice that Peter went up on the housetop to pray. He took time to hear from God. I am so thankful that God has spoken to me in the car, driving, walking, working. There are times God just speaks to you out of nowhere, but it's always after I have spent time being with him as a rule, spending time with him throughout the day. You understand what I'm saying with that? But there are times where we need to set apart that we need to pray specifically. We want to hear specifically from God. We better set some time aside. We are such an instant society, and we want things now. So the next day they went up on the journey and they drew into the city. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and voice and birds of the air. And a voice said to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up in heaven again. If your translation is like mine, you'll find out that when the voice had claimed to him, you'll see that it was in red, that it was the Lord Jesus himself. Not so, Lord, he said, and the voice spoke to him, and you see them in red because Jesus himself was speaking to him. God spoke to him while he was praying. Verse 13 said, a voice came to him. Verse 15 said, a voice spoke to him. An audible voice? A voice within him? It doesn't matter. In his trance, in his vision, Peter heard from God. And then verse 17 comes along, and it begins to take a little bit of shift here. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision had, he had seen had meant, behold, the men who had seen had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. See what's happening here. He had this vision. He's thinking about it. And all of a sudden, these guys begin knocking on the gate. Three men show up. The vision's gone. He's reflecting on it. Three men show up, knocking on the door. Verse 18, they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, you see what's happening here. He's on the rooftop. He's thinking, what's God speaking to me here? The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Rise, therefore, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. The Spirit of God speaking very clearly, very distinctly to Peter, just as God intended to speak to his children. Peter goes with the men, preaches Christ to Cornelius' household. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They all speak in tongues. They all get saved. But what I want to see here is that the early church is a very clear example of how God intends to communicate with his people. And it's a great example how God intends to communicate to you. That he can speak to you clearly. However he chooses to do it, that he can lead you in your life. And I don't care whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're making important decisions in your life, whether you're making minor decisions in your life, God desires to be part of that. He desires to be in your life and to speak to you so you can hear them. We said the question on the thing, would his indwelling presence agree with his decision that I am about to make? His indwelling presence that will speak clearly to you. It's important to understand that. And understand that while the apostles were with Jesus, when they walked with Jesus, they ministered with him, they watched him minister, and they watched him know and hear the voice of the Spirit. The Spirit had not yet come. So here are these apostles that we're reading about now. They stayed with Jesus for 3 years, and they saw him hear from God. Saw him have all these tremendous things in their life, and the Spirit had not yet come, but Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit, and then the Spirit came. And now we see this disciples functioning like Jesus did, like God wants you to function in your life. We're going to come back to Acts a little bit later, but go over to John chapter 16. Head over with me there. And I think it's on page 728 if you're in your pew Bibles. In John 16, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples on the way to the garden, his journey to the cross. How many times over the years I've told you these several chapters here are so important. This is the last thing Jesus has to say to his disciples. But we see something. We were here a little bit last week and looking at this message. But watch how important. Watch what happens here. Christ is speaking to them in 16. We'll pick this up in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. We talked about this weeks past. We've talked about it years past, the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit that will come to you. How many times I have spoken to you that it strikes me that Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. Because when I go, that Holy Spirit that you've watched me hear from, minister under, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit, Jesus said, that you've watched me minister with and through, that has spoken to me, he's coming to you. He's coming to you. It's your advantage because now you're going to be able to fulfill the mission. Your Helper, your Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Look a little further. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. You see me no more. Of judgment, because the rule of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the things the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me because I go to the Father. From the very lips of Jesus, he said, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. And there's at least three things I want you to see in here this morning. First of all, what will he speak? What will he speak? Truth. Thank you for that. He will speak truth. That which he hears, God will speak to you for your situation. But the only thing that he is capable of speaking is the truth. Numbers tells us God is not a man that he should lie. God cannot lie. He will no longer be God. And the Holy Spirit will always speak truth to you. Boy, sometimes when we're praying, we're praying because things seem confusing, don't they? We're not exactly sure what is right, what is truth in the situation. How often we need to hear God's truth in our life. Second thing, he will speak to you that which he hears. Jesus said that very clearly. The heart of God to you for your situation. Romans 8, 26 and 27 tell us basically that the Holy Spirit is praying with you and for you and interceding with you. As God searches your heart, the Holy Spirit intercedes with you in accordance to the will of the Father for your life. So the Holy Spirit will speak truth to you, and he will speak to you that which is pertinent and important to you specifically and in your life. Not vague. He'll speak to you specifically what you need to hear. And he'll speak, the third thing is, that which is of God, that which is of Jesus, he will declare it to you. I don't know about you, but I think that's good news. I think it's good news. Amen? I mean, we need to hear from God, and God is promising that as we make decisions in our life, as we try to lead our children, as whatever we're trying to do in our life, that God will speak to you that set of circumstances in your life, what you need to hear. In real life application, it tells us that you should know when God is not in something, and you should know when God is in something. And because it's only truth, it will always line up scripturally. We should develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit that he always glorifies Jesus. He'll point us back to him, but we should know what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. We should learn to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, Ephesians 6, 18, consider this. The word tells you to pray in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 says, walk in the Spirit, live by, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit means you're directed, led by the Spirit of God away from the flesh. Galatians 5, 18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. It means if you're led by the Spirit, it means you can be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5, 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18 says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We are to pray, to live, to walk, to be filled, to be yielded to the Holy Spirit in our lives. That God promises to lead us in these directions. Christ died on the cross to restore your relationship with the Father, that you should live your life devoted to God, living in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. In every aspect of your life, in all that you do, God desires to lead you, to guide you, to speak to you. In the everyday, in the critical, in the crisis. Real quickly, turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I said we were going to head over there. Let's look at something very interesting here. At this point in Acts, Christianity had been established in many reasons. Disciples had a very busy ministry. They're active. They're going about. They're doing many things. Paul and Silas are traveling together, going back to cities they preached before to see how they're doing. Paul picks up Timothy along the way to begin to mentor him. Verse 5 tells us that, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So they're busy. There's a lot of things happening. Watch God's very clear, distinctive direction and leading in their life. And understand that's what he desires for your life as well. They're busy. Chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. Now when they had gone through Phrygia by the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. When they come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, the disciples understood they needed to be led by the Holy Spirit. Scripture doesn't say here that the Spirit spoke to them directly. He may have, but it was very clear to the disciples. They told them what to do, what not to do. Early in chapter 15, disciples wrote a short letter to the churches addressing some issues, and in it they wrote, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit." They had sought the counsel of the Holy Spirit, they understood his leading, and that was kind of seemed good. But look at the clarity here. What was right and good, what was not good, forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go to Asia. Very specific. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't have these things happen in your life. It's what God intended for you. Now, you may think that, well, yeah, they were disciples or the clergy or the pastor. He's the one that hears to hear from God. No, you need to hear from God in your life in every aspect of it. It doesn't matter what you're doing. I've learned the voice of God in my life for many, many years, and I've learned to obey it. And I found out when I didn't obey it, things didn't go as well. Amen? And yet I still rejoice in it. Not that things didn't go well, but that I realized that God had spoken to me, and I went past it. I remember over the years, there were times when God, I'd be doing a job. I had times when I would go to bid a job, and God would say, "Don't bid on that job, because you never get paid." I remember a job I had years ago as a contractor. There was a doctor. We were doing a very large addition, almost doubling the size of this house he had bought. It's a whole long story, but the bottom line is partway through the project, good way through the project, the Spirit of God spoke to me that he doesn't have any more money for this. And so I began to question him when his money wasn't coming like it should have been. And the Spirit of God says, "You need to get out of this." And so the guy kind of quit paying me, and it became obvious to me. I got out of it 6 or 8 months, almost a year later. I got out of it legally, and I did what I needed to do. The only person I had ever leaned in my entire life as a contractor, but I knew I had to do it. He owed us a fair amount of money. About a year later, his bank called me and said, "Will you settle for X amount of dollars?" And the X amount of dollars they wanted me to settle for was basically what I had paid the contractors and the suppliers, so it was kind of breaking even. But the point was, when I talked to the bank, they said, "We've never seen a project like this ever, ever. He has so much money and so many things that he has tried to do, he doesn't have the money to pay for this." Now, the Spirit of God told me probably a year before that, "Get out of this." If I wouldn't have obeyed, there would have probably been about $100,000 or something this guy ran up that I'd have been stuck for. You think it's not important to hear God's voice in your life? I think I shared with you the story years ago that there was a fellow that owed me. We did some work. Trying to make this quick. We did some work for some other contractors as a sub job, and I was rebuilding a laundromat in kind of a bad section of town. And next to that, tied to the building, was a bar. And so we did some small work in there because we were doing it for the owner of the building. And this bar owner owed me $700 or $800. It wasn't a great deal of money, but it was money he owed me. And he wasn't paying. And so he called me. We had town. Actually, my parents were still living, and they were in town. And he called me. I was getting home on a Friday night, and he called me, and he said, "I have your money for me. Come now. I have your money for you. Come now." So I felt the Spirit of God said, "Go." So I went to get his money. I walked in. Now, it's late Friday evening. It's, you know, a long job. I had to drive over there. It's 7 or 8 o'clock at night. Place is packed out. I stood out in a city. You know, I wasn't one of the boys hanging in this black establishment. You know, I don't mean that in any negative way or derogative way. I mean, it's a rough area. So I walked in there, and I walked back through the bar, back into this guy's office, and he counts out his money. And he says to me, "Now, be careful." And the Spirit of God spoke to me, "Go out a different way that you came in." So rather than go back through the bar, I went out, walked all around the block and back to my van and left. Now, I believe God just protected me from something that was about to happen. And I got my money. But the point is this, that you need to know, I need to know, God's voice in my life. I need to know today. I needed to know yesterday. I will need to know tomorrow. So will you. That God desires to speak to you regardless of your age, where you're at in your walk, a young believer, a believer has been known to the Lord for a long time. He wants you to know his voice clearly and directly. Let's stand together. Several years ago, your moms will appreciate this. Our daughter Kelsey was in college, but was kind of doing some commuting at the time a little bit, and she was home for the period of time, whatever it was, but she'd worked very late. And when she got home, she was going to go out to her friend's, I believe the girl's name was Lucy, who lived way out in Lakewood. And she'd never been there, some girl that Kelsey had met in school. So she's getting ready to go, and Chris gets anxious about this. And she was already anxious. Tyler had been out visiting a girlfriend way out in Norwalk, and it was late at night, and he was coming back. So she was anxious about him driving back. You know, a mom's anxiety. Now, Kelsey's going to get out and drive way out to some place she's never been. So Chris wasn't sure whether it was the leading of the Holy Spirit or just mom's anxiousness. So she asked me to pray as well. But she was really concerned about her daughter heading out. The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing but prayer with supplication, make our request known. So we prayed about it. So I'm getting ready for bed and praying. I mean, it's late. I mean, Kelsey's going to head out pretty late, but that's what you do when you're that age, right? You know? You head out. And I was getting ready to go in to talk to Kelsey. I felt in my heart, maybe the first time she needs to go out to see this girl should be during the day. And yet I didn't want to. She's older, you know, I'm just praying about it. Kelsey has this independent forge-ahead attitude, you know, so I knew probably it wasn't going to be the best thing that she'd want, you know. But she comes into the room and says, after we've been praying, would you be more comfortable if I went out during the day and I'll go see a friend in Bainbridge? We said, yeah, as a matter of fact, we've been praying about it. So she goes to her friend's Bainbridge. The next day she heads over to Lucy's house. And on the way there, her cell phone died. And on the way there, she gets lost, and she was way out in Avon somewhere, calling us from a payphone or whatever it was, totally lost. And my point was this. If she had gone the evening before, she'd have got lost in an unknown area without a cell phone, just wandering around town. You think moms don't need to hear and know the voice of God? They need to be led by the Spirit of God. When to interfere, when not to interfere. When to speak, when not to speak. What to speak. We need it in all areas of our lives. The good news is God promises to speak to our hearts. Amen? Let's worship God.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your Holy Spirit. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And this is the air. This is the air. This is the air. Your holy presence living. without you. I'm lost without you.
Father, of all the joys and all the privileges of being a believer in Christ, of all the promises we have, of all that we enjoy, one of the greatest things is we can hear your voice. Whether it's a voice of leading, voice of guiding, or voice of comfort, it's that voice of truth, the voice of strength, the voice of help, reassurance, love. We hear so often. We're so thankful for it. As your people go, Father, may your angels encamp about them. Protect them and keep them in all they do. May your voice be loud and clear in their lives. May the leading of the Holy Spirit be so distinct for each of us. May we know you in a greater way and know your voice more clearly. We thank you for this day, Father. As people go, as they gather with families where there has been strife or contention, let there be peace and forgiveness. Where there has been sorrow, let there be joy. Let us gather in your name and in your presence. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Have a blessed week. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you.